So let us sing first. Deyarata Mātava Kunya Vihade Agama Tava Kunya Vihade Derata Mātava Kunya Vihade Gopi Jana Vallava Iri Varada Adi Gopi Jana Vallava Iri Varadadi Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Yasoda Nandana Raja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Deyarata Mātava Kunya Vihade Deyarata Mātava Kunya Vihade Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Śrīla Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Upada Śrīla Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitaya Jaya Gauranitaya Gauranitaya Jaya Gauranitaya Gauranitaya Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Si Radhe Jai Jai Si Radhe Jai Jai Si Radhe Jai Jai Si Radhe
Gaurahari, I think you have put on the blackboard this text, the ninth, tenth.
Yeah.
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Can you please help me? Is it Rakshapati Svabhala, is that? I actually made a mistake. I should have given Gaurahari the text 20, but instead I gave him text 21, so I'm sorry. We can just chant text 20 just by bit by bit. It's not on the table, I know. Nikapa Raghupate Abhipatya Sarve Te Nikapa Raghupate Abhipatya Yasarve. Oh, it's difficult, no? Try. Te nikapa ragupater abipat yasarve dvantvam varutam ibha pati ratashva yodai Dvandvam varutam ibhapati ratashva yodai Dvandvam varutam ibhapati ratashva yodai Very good, very good. Or I think you have machines which help you. Jagnur Drumair Giri Gade Shubhir Angadadyaha. Yes. Sita Bimarsha. No, sorry. Let's first do this. Yaknutrumer Girigade Shubir Angadabya. Yaknutrumer Girigade Shubir Angadabya. Sita Bimaksha Hoto Mongolo Ravanesham Sitar Bimasha Hata Mangala Ravanesham. Te Nikaparagupate Rabipatya Sarve. Kaparagupate Rabipatya Sarve. Dvantvam Varutam Ibapatira Tashva Yodaye. Yagnudrumer Girigade Shubir Angadadya. Sita Bhimasha Hata Mangala Ravanesham. Someone else, please. Maybe a Vaishnavi also. Teni kapada gupate rabipatya sarve. Vandvam varutam ibapati rashvatyodhyay. Yagnu drume giri gade shubiran gadadhyaya. Sita bimasha hata mangala. Te, all of them, Ankipaha, the commanders of the soldiers, Ragupate of Lord Sri Ramachandra, Abhipatya, chasing the enemy, Sarve, all of them, Dvandvam, fighting, Varutam, the soldiers of Ravana, Ibha, by elephants, Pati, by infantry, Rata, by chariots, Ashva, by horses, Yodahi, by such warriors, Jagnu, killed them. Drumai, by throwing big trees. Giri, by peaks of mountains. Gada, by clubs. Ishubihi, by arrows. Angada Atya, all the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra, headed by Angada and others. All the Sita, of Mother Sita, Abhimarasha, by the anger, Hata, had been condemned, Mangala, whose auspiciousness, Ravana Ishan, the followers or dependents of Ravana. So Hare Krishna, this is taken from the part of the Bhagavatam where the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra are described. We have taken this because of a certain very interesting point which we will discuss further in our lectures. So this is the translation. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, the infantry, horses and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. So this describes a struggle, in fact a battle, with uneven chances. There was the highly armed army of Ravan, which had all the existing modern warfare and war instruments on their sides. And on the other side was an army of monkeys who had practically no weapons. They just took rocks and trees and threw them at the enemy. So, good. Prabhupada writes about this amazing battle. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana. For Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman who shot some arrows. But because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Mother Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. And now comes the part which I request you to pay special attention to. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence. And Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore Krishna instructed Arjuna, "Mam anusmara yutya cha," think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine nivishesha shunyavadi paskatyare satarine jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Srila Prabhupada would always tell us something that made us think, and it also provoked us. He said, impossible? This word is a word from a dictionary of fools. It is an interesting way of speaking about this philosophical point that yes, by material strength, purushakara, it is impossible to do certain things, because things here follow the laws of material nature. But by the spiritual strengths, it is possible for a blind man to see. By spiritual strengths or daiva, it is possible for a lame man to all of a sudden walk and cross mountains. And by the spiritual power, it is also possible for a fool who has not learned anything or who does not know anything to speak learned words. So what is impossible if one stays in material life becomes well and easily possible when one takes to spiritual life, provided one opens himself up to this other spiritual strength and doesn't stay on the platform of the mind and the body and the intelligence and operates on material strengths. In another part of the Bhagavatam appears a very amazing story of one great devotee king. His name was Priyavrata, who had done wonderful and uncommon activities. He had used a vehicle, imagine this, a special vehicle, and moved into outer space, where he changed actually the path of the planets. So when Shukadev Goswami was talking about this materially impossible feat of King Priyavrata, no? To Parikshit Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj went, wow, really? I can't believe that someone can do this. And Shukadev Goswami then said, my dear king, you must know there's something very special. A devotee who is taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet can transcend the influence of the six material laws, you know, and he can conquer the mind and the five senses. So he says, Parikshit, you must know, yes, if materially something is impossible, when someone takes shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, the same impossible thing becomes possible for him. And Prabhupada comments on this. He says, since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, you know, Krishna is all-powerful, since he is all-powerful, he can do things that seem very wonderful and unbelievable for a common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things, unimaginable to a common man, by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. I think there are many examples of this in our movement, how devotees who have taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet can do just things which on their own they thought were not possible. Just a few days ago I talked to one devotee from this community, Narayani, who told me that somehow Vajendra Kumar had found out a group of people who needed prasadam for 2 weeks. So it was a big group, a huge group, and Narayani told me we had to cook 2 big meals for 2 weeks in these huge pots, and I could not imagine to do this. What to speak of 2 weeks? I'm not a Hercules or and so on. But somehow, together with Dara, we were able to do it. We were exhausted. We fell in our beds and slept at 8 o'clock after such a day. 8 o'clock is early, I think, for not for all devotees, but for some. We slept, but next morning we did it again. We cooked a Himalaya-like mountain of food. And I still don't know how it was possible for me. I've never done this before. There are other very amazing things. If you want to really read something or learn something from Prabhupada's time, I encourage you to get a copy of the book I Will Build You a Temple from Srila Prabhupada, which describes an amazing story of spiritual empowerment. There's something that is absolutely not even conceivable to the material mind, became possible not by ordinary strengths, but by the strengths of the Lord. Therefore, Prabhupada makes this point of it, which is important and is the principle of all empowerment. Since the Supreme Lord is all-powerful, he can do things that seem wonderful and unbelievable for a common man. Similarly, a devotee who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord can also do wonderful things, unimaginable to the common man, by the grace of the dust of those lotus feet. I must tell you, I have personally been always very interested in extraordinary people, and I was asking myself, how is it possible that they can do things which astonishes the whole world? And when I came to Krishna consciousness and I heard about the activities of the saintly devotees, I was always curious to know, how is it possible that they can do such extraordinary things which are simply not possible materially? I once heard that from a god brother that he had looked into Srila Prabhupada's room through the keyhole in the door. And he had seen how Prabhupada moved on a sunray in the room. Yes, he was sitting and just sliding up the sunray and then went out of the window on the sunray. When I heard it, I said, yeah, that's it. That is what I'm interested in also. These extraordinary activities which defy or cross ordinary life. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I myself could see things where I thought, this is not possible by human calculation. That is the mercy of the Lord who makes it possible. And I always have written about it. For me, a day without miracles is not a day. It is a boring affair. I always have been like this. I'm sorry I brought this into this life. I cannot shake it off. I like extraordinary things, and I'm bored to death with ordinary things. It may be a material contamination, but what can I do? That's me. So today I began to study this a little, and then a question came to me. Could it be that if I just understand these principles, that I also could be empowered to do spiritually impossible, to materially impossible things? And I found some principles, and then I listened to a lecture of this very nice devotee in Sutapa. I highly recommend you his lectures. They are online available. And I have now something to share with you, how you can bring your life to the next level, I would say, where you become an instrument in Krishna's hands and you can have an extraordinary life. Is this a good subject matter?
Yes.
Is this of interest for you?
Yes.
Or is it too far out? Because some of us are really only safe with ordinary things. And when it gets extraordinary, they go like, "Ooh, please, I'm an ordinary man, let me stay an ordinary person." But I can see by the reaction that you have also something, some interest in that direction. Good. Now, first of all, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of the Lord who is closest to us in terms of time. He appeared only 500 years ago. That's nothing in our tradition. It's just around the corner, just yesterday. And he was teaching how to practice bhakti in this modern time. It was mainly through the chanting of the holy name, but he was also an extraordinary spiritual teacher who taught like a teacher in a school teaches school children to excel in something, to learn something they didn't know, like a new language or the complicated formulas of mathematics and so on. So Lord Chaitanya taught us how to practice bhakti, and it is said he garlanded the world with a garland of the holy name and prema. He gave, in other words, the world the holy name and love of Godhead. He is an extraordinary teacher. And let us just pause for a while. What do you think should be a good teacher have? What qualities? I'm sorry, I do not see Analakshita, she would be able to answer this very nicely because she is a teacher. She's most probably teaching at this moment in the school. So anyone has an idea what a good teacher should be able to do. Yes, Gaurahari?
A good teacher is someone who walks his talk, is doing what he's teaching.
Wonderful. He's doing himself what he's teaching. He's an embodiment, a living example of what he teaches. What else is a good teacher doing?
Explain complicated subject matters in a simple way.
Wonderful definitions. He should be able to explain complicated subject matters in a simple way. I think we don't need a microphone. Or no, Manjula Mani.
Yeah, a good teacher, he should also be able to pick up the student where the student is at.
Oh yeah. I think your mother or father did this. The good teacher should be able to pick up the student or to reach the student on the level where he is at and then uplift him and expand his knowledge. Yes, Vajendra Kumar Prabhu?
That his listeners and followers are happily and freely, willingly following.
Yeah,
the
people he teaches, his followers, the people who follow him, should willingly and freely, almost enthusiastically, should be motivated to follow his advice. A very nice definition. Our Damodar Priya, she is a teacher also. So we will listen. Yes, let us sit properly now. Yes.
Exemplary
character. Yes, this character should be good. Should not just talk and then be a womanizer, drink alcohol, whatever. Yeah. Good. Yes, Mataji. He is himself a student always, no? A disciple, yes. Good. I meant teacher in a general way, but of course spiritual teachers also. I would like to... We should make a catalogue of your answers. I have here a few qualities, and they are... You have taught them. It is from one teacher... He said, the first thing a teacher should do, he should engage the student. That means the student should actually want to learn. Oh yeah, this is interesting. He should motivate his student. And then he should actually educate. That means he should be able to teach what is essential, what are the principles, so that his student will always be able to act upon this. Then he should encourage his students. That's very important, that they have the desire to live by this higher knowledge. And finally, this is something which has not yet been mentioned, he should empower a student. Let us look at that. Empower means he should give the student an energy, you could define it like this, or knowledge, or by his example, that the student can actually do something very wonderful, that he can, for instance, I know I had an English teacher, and somehow the English teacher, it was the first year in for him to teach He had just come from, I think, from the university and so on. But we learned 3 years from that English teacher, and I couldn't speak English. I had, on the other hand, a guitar teacher, a person who taught me how to play the guitar. I've forgotten it. It is not. And I remember in a short time, I was able to play Jimi Hendrix, which is very difficult to play. It's very heavy, difficult knowledge. Not extremely good, but something. He somehow was able to transfer or give his knowledge to me, and I was doing like he did. This is very important. When you meet a teacher, you should see that in his association, something changes. You learn something which you did not learn before, and you can now do it. You can actually do it. If you have a cooking teacher, you are able to be in the kitchen and stir in 5 pots at once. You are able to do something because he empowers you. And it is, in fact, this point which the Upanishads describe when they point at the student-master relationship or the disciple and spiritual-master relationship. They say, listen to this, that the spiritual master's duty is, his goal is, to give what he knows to his student so that his student can act upon this knowledge. And they give an example from astronomy that the sun has this light, yes, it has the power of light, and it gives this power to its student, the moon, who learns how to shine from the sun. This is Vedic astronomy, no? Very personal, very, very poetic astronomy. And when the moon then rises in the, where does the moon rise? In the eastern horizon, it actually has received the power to shine from the sun, and then it can illuminate the night. Beautiful example, isn't it? This is very important. We don't have a spiritual master only for cultural reasons. Okay, that's what you do, and you have a, you get a name and get an initiation. That is on the side. That is a side point. The main point is that the spiritual master empowers you with transcendental knowledge. As we say, he opens my eyes, he opens my darkened eyes. Dark. He opens my darkened eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. No? Now, the light which reveals things is in my eyes. I can see what was previously in darkness for me, an empowerment. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually empowered his students. He empowered Jiva Goswami to understand the philosophy, and that's why he became the Tattva Acharya. We have one devotee, Tattva Dashini here, the seer of the truth. So Jiva Goswami became the Tattva Acharya, the teacher, the one who understood and taught the philosophical conclusions of the Vedic scripture. Rupa Goswami was empowered to understand and relish the science of rasa, you know, transcendental relationships and what goes on in these relationships, the pleasures of the ecstasies of relating to God. And therefore he became the
Rasacharya, someone of you said, yes. Haridas Thakur was empowered with an unparalleled taste in the holy name by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore he became Namacharya. You know everything. And Ramananda Roy, we hear this in the discussion, he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, Lord Chaitanya asked him questions, and Ramananda gave all the answers. And in the end he said, these are not my answers. You somehow empower me to speak. In fact, he gave an analogy. I'm like a dead puppet, you know, wooden puppet with strings, and you make me dance. It is your power which went into me so that now I can talk and give these amazing answers to these highly confidential questions which are ordinary, very, very difficult to answer. There are very, let me say, the religious systems which we know don't go so far as to explain these super, super detailed concepts. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was like the ocean, and the students which he had were like the clouds who had taken the water from the ocean, who were in this way instilled with the qualities of the ocean, and now were able to spread water or distribute water all over. So the question for us is, if we also wish to go beyond our own limits, our psychological limits, our physical limits, our character limits, become better people, how do we get this energy? My first point I want to raise here is, you must open yourself up. When a pot or a cup, when you put a cup in the rainwater which comes from the clouds, but you put it like this, bottom up, you know, it cannot get any water inside. You have to put the cup like this, with its opening up. So when you approach Krishna consciousness, you must learn to open yourself up. If you stay closed like this, you will not get the cloud-like mercy or spiritual shakti that is available to all human beings. If we open ourselves up, as I said earlier, a blind man can see, a layman can walk, a fool can speak, then really things which were not possible before become possible. Most of us, even in Krishna consciousness, even if we are practicing since 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, become in the process sometimes a little bit attached to our own plan, our own way of seeing things, and we are very closed to new ideas. I experienced this because maybe some of you know I give retreats which have a transformational purpose. I want to change people's heart, and I see many people come to the retreats, many of my students come, and they already think they know something. They know everything, and they want to stay on that level. And then when I introduce new concepts to them, it's very difficult for them to take it on board. Therefore, I mean, the duty which a presenter has, one has to present the things, the instructions in Prabhupada's books, which they have overlooked or not understood properly. But if they do, I have seen catharsis. I have seen older devotees who are practicing since 40 years entering the retreat and learning new things, being open, and then experiencing. Some say, I think I chanted for the first time the holy name. What did you do? I said, nothing. I did. It's not me. It's just that ancient knowledge which one has to be open to receive. And obviously, in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, we cannot be so open. We are covered over with complex layers of conditionings, and then after we've joined, we learn a few things which we can allow inside our knowledge. But if we stay on that level, if we say, yeah, I want to do everything exactly like I did 50 years ago, no? Ha-ha! Then this nostalgia is nice, but it doesn't help you to learn new things and advance to a new level. And I have often seen that the most difficult, the people who have had most difficult in retreats are those who practice for a long time on the same level, and who cannot and do not wish to take anything new on board because they are just afraid, maybe, or I don't know. So you must be open to receive if you want to be empowered. You must put your pot in this position. A childlike innocence, readiness to learn. I would like to give you now an example from our tradition about empowerment. And this is maybe the most wonderful example, I have to look here at the wristwatch, in our tradition which we can imagine. It's how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the book Chaitanya Charitamrita, which when it was written was a revolutionary book because it brought really new points to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas of the time. But as it turned out, it became the most authoritative book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and teaching, and it became the guidebook for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas eventually. No? So the way it was written is an amazing story of empowerment where you can learn the principles and apply them. I'm sorry. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami lived in a village in Bengal called Jamatpur. I think it's Jamatpur. He was a great devotee. In his house, the deities were worshipped. And there was day and night an Akanda Sankirtan, uninterrupted Sankirtan. We did yesterday 2 hours of Sankirtan in this temple. No? In his place, there was from morning till evening kirtan going on. It was almost like one constant Jamashtami, because in Jamashtami always devotees were singing. Here devotees were singing. Outside devotees were singing. In the tent, and oh, so much singing. So in his house also the deities were worshipped by the family priest. His name was Gunanava Mishra. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had an older brother. His name was also very spiritual, Syam Das. Syam is of course Krishna. No? So, however, everything was quite good, but the leading members of the household, the older brother and the family priest, had one little problem. They accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was not a little problem. It became a huge problem, as you will see. But they didn't really accept Nityananda. He was too far out for them. Last Nityananda's appearance day, we have talked about amazing Nityananda. If you want to know of how amazing he is, you have to listen to the lectures. But there was constant kirtan, you know, kirtan mela from morning till evening and through the night was going on. So they knew that there was a good kirtan singer. His name was Minekatana Ramdas, a great devotee of Nityananda, who was really blissful, you know. And like Lord Nityananda means the one who's eternally blissful. So his devotees, Nityananda's devotees, they were very blissful people. They would always dance and sing, and they would behave in extraordinary ways, just like their exalted master. So he was invited because he was a wonderful kirtan leader. Like when we want to organize kirtan here in Goloka Dham, we will invite Gaur Krishna, Ramanji, we will maybe invite Madhava. Then we know, now we have a strong team together, now there will be good kirtan. So he was also invited, and he came into the house and he sat down in the courtyard to say hello to everyone. You know, there was a courtyard, big courtyard in the center of the house. It was a big house. No? And the Vaishnavas came out from the kirtan and saw this Minekatanava Ramdas. My God, you should have seen him. He was always having tears of ecstasy in his eyes. And they all thought, Minekatanava Ramdas is here. My God. And they paid their obeisances to him. And Minekatam, while they were still paying the obeisances, sometimes playfully climbed on their shoulder and lovingly struck them with his flute. You know, he had a flute, like Prasida Nitai. In old times, he always had a flute, like a proper hippie should have. And he struck the Vaishnavas, and they felt happy because to be struck with the flute by the flute of Minekatanava Ramdas, wow, there was something. As they looked at him and saw this constant shower of tears of love in his eyes, they were infected and also felt inspired. Have you ever seen a person who cries in love of God? If you see, my dear devotees, you will feel your heart is changed. It is really something. So from time to time, Minekatama, who was so much in ecstasy, would shout, Nitai! And everyone was astonished. They had never seen such a blissful, ecstatic person in their life. Only the priest, Gunanava Mishra, and the older brother, what was his name again? Syam, yes. They thought, he you know, this is what the people of Nityananda do, you know. It's a little strange, you know. Who climbs on the shoulder of a Vaishnava when he makes obeisances? Who always cries? Only this madman of Lord Nityananda, they do like this. And they felt disrespect in their heart. The priest was continuing to offer arati, and he was not showing his feelings, but the feelings were there. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami saw all this, and he said to his older brother, "Brother, I know you do not appreciate Lord Nityananda, but Lord Chaitanya said that he is his other self. And he said, Lord Nityananda gives love of Godhead freely to everyone. And if you want to know Chaitanya, you need to respect Nityananda. You are like that Muslim. You accept Chaitanya but reject Nityananda. That Muslim did the same thing. He accepted the neck of the hen, the back of the hen, who always gave a golden egg, but he was against the head of the hen, who always ate so much. And then he cut the head of the hen. This is the logic of accepting the half hen. This is what you do, and therefore your spiritual life is nothing. So Miniketarma Ramdas also saw this disrespect against his person. He didn't mind, because he did not want any respect for himself, but he knew the root of this. These people did not appreciate Nityananda. They were against Nityananda. And that made his heart very sad. He became very unhappy. And as he came to the threshold of the house, just, you know, leaving the fairy, he took his flute and broke it on his knee, threw it on the ground, and went out. He didn't say a word. When Krishnadas Kaviraj saw the sadness in Miniketarma Ram's heart, the sadness that his Lord was disrespected, and saw that heavy, heavy gesture of displeasure, breaking a flute, he felt great anxiety. He knew when a great Vaishnava is insulted, sarvanash. Sarvanash means everything is finished. He knew his family will be ruined as the effect of Vaishnava aparad. And he was really... Really, this was a fateful event. This was a tragic event. That night, in his sleep, something very wonderful happened. Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream. The text Chaitanya Charitamrita says, because of the good quality of chastising my brother and telling him you with your half-hen logic won't go very far, because of this Lord Nityananda appeared. And he said, "Uta Uta, arise, arise, get up, Krishnadas." And he saw the most beautiful personality of Nityananda, who looked like the God of love. Have you ever seen a beautiful person you know, who walks by, and you go like, wow! Maybe we have not seen. In Golokadham, we have a few beautiful people, I think. But maybe not like that. You know, the Cupid has invested in these beautiful people maybe one millionth of his part. But if you see Cupid, or the god of love, it's almost that you faint. It's so beautiful. So this is how Lord Nityananda looked, really beautiful. He had a dark complexion, but he was shining like millions of moons. He was dressed in a blue dress, everything blue, dhoti blue, uttariya blue, turban blue, and everything was made out of silk. And he had one golden earring and a red iron staff, like a stick, which he whirled around playfully because he was very strong. There were his devotees around him. They were all dressed up like cowherd boys. They were playing horns and flutes. You know, they were musical people because Lord Nityananda always does kirtan. And he called out in a deep voice, Nityananda. Do you know what he called out? He said, Krishna, Krishna, all the time, nothing else. Krishna, Krishna. There were bees which swarmed around his lotus feet. It was extraordinary transcendental vision. And Krishna Das Kaviraj was so overwhelmed, he described, I did not know anything. When he woke up, he saw it was already morning. The sun was just rising in the east. It was just after or during Brahma Muhurta, he saw the first rays of the sun. And he thought about everything that had transpired. Especially he thought about what Nityananda had said to him. One thing we know, he had said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But then he had stopped and he had said something to him. What he had said, I have written it down. Krishna Das, don't worry a bit. You know, you remember something had happened which made Krishna Das full of anxiety. Don't worry a bit. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. And while saying, go to Vrindavan, Lord Nityananda took his hand like this, please watch, and he directed him to go to Vrindavan. So when Krishna Das woke up in the morning, the text says, say Kshanit, that very moment where he woke up and remembered his vision, he started to walk towards Vrindavan. That very moment, he was absolutely open to Lord Nityananda's instruction. He was not attached to his plans. He left his home. He left his family. He left everything behind. And I will end here. I have to end here. This is the first lesson in empowerment. Be detached from your own plans. Trust that Krishna has a better plan for you. When he closes one door, Krishna closes one door sometimes, he opens three other doors. But if you always lament about, oh, this one door which I used to cross is closed, oh no, lament about what you've lost, you will not see the other three doors which are open for you now. No? Don't you? Do you understand? You will not see what Krishna is in mind if you remain closed. Walk with Krishna's plan. And a good example is Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That was the mission he received from his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and so on. But it didn't work really in India. So he went to Butler. It didn't work in Butler. He went to a yoga ashram in Monroe, that's a little bit outside of New York, to Dr. Mishra. It didn't work there. Then Prabhupada went to the Skid Row. That's you know, the Kreuzberg of New York. Kreuzberg is where all the punks and the hippies used to gather. Now it's a posh area also, but in that time, the Skid Row was a Kreuzberg of New York. And he opened a little temple in a storefront on the 26th Avenue, and from there it worked like, it spread like wildfire. So Prabhupada had tried various ways, but he was not attached to one way. He saw where did it work. He was ready to walk through Krishna's open doors and not try at a closed door anymore. So when you are flexible, you will see the opportunities which are given by Krishna. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami had this quality, which is absolutely necessary for empowerment, to be open, to receive the divine inspiration. Hare Krishna. I will end this is the first part of the lecture. He will go to Vrindavan, and we will hear tomorrow morning what he saw when he went to Vrindavan and how he was empowered. But the first lesson of empowerment was what? Aditya Bhai. To be open, flexible, to see the opportunity which Krishna puts in your life. We often, when a door closes or we lose something, we start to lament and be in the past. And we don't see. I see this in many, many cases. The devotees remain attached to their concepts and cannot move forward. I see, for instance, devotees want to be accepted by one particular spiritual master as his disciple. And somehow it doesn't work. And then they just do not look for other opportunities, but remain attached to their plan, their own plan, and stagnate. Only if they would open themselves for Krishna's arrangement would they see the new possibilities coming up, and they would be very happy and very quickly make advancement. Or we remain attached to our position, even though it changes and we become discouraged. We do not find anything new in our life when the old position doesn't work for us any longer, and we are in limbo, in between two worlds. Or we are attached to so many things. When we come to Krishna, we learn about Krishna consciousness, we may be attached, first I must finish my this and my that, and we are not seeing the opportunities. There are many examples which you could give. Maybe you want to think today about something where you are attached to your own plan and not open for Krishna's plan, and think a little bit about it during the course of the day, because soon we will learn the second lesson in spiritual empowerment, which is even more amazing. But Krishna Das Kaviraj, you know, the the Bengali is Se Kshane. That very moment when he woke up, he had heard Lord Nityananda's plan, go to Vrindavan. That very moment, he just, I can see him on the road. You know, he started to walk. He had faith. He said, goodbye, Jamatpur. You know, he may not even have told anyone because they would not have let him go. He went in the very early morning when maybe only the priest was up at that time, no? And went to Vrindavan. So, Hare Krishna. Say Kshane. I think if we could have that quality, oh, would be so nice, no? That very moment, on a, we would turn around. Once Prabhupada was asked, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious? And he said, one moment. Or it doesn't happen after. And he said, it can happen in one moment or not after thousands of years. You are looking at me, and I am looking at you. And I'm asking you, does this have something to do with you? I will end my class here. It is, I think, we have a little time for questions, Gaurahari. Manjula Mani. Habe ich es jetzt richtig ausgesprochen? Gut.
In the Bhagavad Gita, because we just had Jamasthami and you were speaking so wonderfully about Krishna's appearance and how, of course, again, we heard some details that we hadn't heard before, and it's like, for the mind, it's a lot to take in, all these details. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the Janma Karma Tamedi Yang verse, he says, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, he does not, upon leaving his body, he does not take
another birth
again in the material world, but attains my eternal abode. So from this verse, we always think about, you have to know the nature and the birth of Krishna. But I think the second part of the verse, that just by leaving the body, you will not, I mean, it doesn't say chanting the holy name, leaving the body in the holy dham, there are no conditions, it's just leaving the body, then you will go back to the transcendental abode. And I think this is very, I mean, it may be very difficult to understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, but the benefit is just deeply, deeply rewarding. Can you speak about that?
Yeah. The benefit is very, very rewarding. And this idea of a rewarding benefit is discussed by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto. He says, one simply has to stay alive in bhakti and then one will get for sure liberation from this material existence, and one will get the association of Krishna and his personal service, mukti and pade, the lotus feet of the Lord. And he says, just like a son simply needs to stay alive, and then automatically after some time he will get an inheritance, son or daughter. In the same way, it is certain, it is sure, it is absolutely guaranteed that if you simply stay alive in bhakti, you will naturally receive these high rewards. Now I would like to focus a little bit your attention. What does this really mean to stay alive in bhakti? The text says one engages his body, his words and his heart in Krishna's service. This is what it means. No? You do with your body different things like practical work. You with your words, you speak about Krishna. You may, and with your heart, you offer obeisances and devotion and that, so on. I would like to say, if you want to stay in alive in bhakti with your body, your words and your heart fully enlivened, you will naturally make advancement from the material consciousness to the spiritual consciousness. It will naturally happen, but it also has to happen. If you don't make advancement, then something is not right. You don't stay properly alive in bhakti. You are only you're half dead and half alive. You have to see. Bhakti is not like some religion is to say, you simply need to be, say, I'm Christian, and you will go, you will be saved by Jesus. You have to also act like a Christian, and you have to speak like a Christian, and you have to feel love in your heart like a Christian, like a lover of God. You can't just say, I'm automatically saved because I joined this institution, Christianity, and now I'm there. My dear devotees, if you continue to engage body and the heart is also mind, it sometimes is used in a the same thing, and your words, what will happen is you will become more interested in Krishna. It is natural. Like see your exalted spiritual master, His Holiness Indrajyumna Maharaj. He talks now so much about Krishna. Have you noted it? It is really a remarked change. Why is he doing it? I remember Maharaj came to our Govardhan retreats and he's always very personal and asked, why are you doing this? And we explained to them that we feel we need to nourish our devotees with a good, they are Krishna devotees, that's at least what we call ourselves, Krishna consciousness. And they need to know more about Krishna. This was Bhurijan Prabhu's idea, why he originally started the Govardhan retreat. And I was lucky, I was also done seva from the beginning. And that was the idea, to nourish devotees, because there will be such interest. And if we don't, this will automatically come. If you just engage body, mind, and heart in Krishna's service, you will be more interested in Krishna. It will automatically happen. Like I remember, I was in my youth a Rolling Stones fan, and yesterday, day before yesterday, Gokrishna came to me and said, bad news. I said, what? Charlie Watts, the drummer, has died with 80 years. So now I was no longer such a fan. I'm no longer a fan. I'm cured. It's not a problem. Don't worry. I'm not listening to the music any longer and so on. But still, I was a very, very, very severe fan, you know. And then I immediately was asking Gokrishna, do you know the details? And we Googled, he was, and we found out the details. It's natural. When you have been close to someone, you want to know about them. And when they die, you feel like, I should know this, you know. I had so much appreciation, so it's normal for a person to know, you know. So when we are, this is an analogy, an example. If you engage with Krishna, if you chant his holy name for so many years, isn't it normal that you want to know how is he like? Have you ever thought Krishna could be a person who is more real than you? As a revolutionary thought, no? But it's normal for someone to, tell me, where is some new information? Gopal Sharma, I've read that and I've made notes. Some new. Acha, okay. Okay. Oh yeah, now I listen to Indra Dumna Maharaj. He is so much learned in this. I must learn all this now. It's normal if you want to know. I can only say one thing. Stay open. Don't close your little pot. You know, when you after practicing Krishna consciousness for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 30 years or even 60 years or however long, keep your little pot open. There's so much Krishna is Krishna, not so simple, not so one-dimensional. It's more real than we. Yes.
What happens if you showed us the cup, but what happens if the cup is full?
If the
what can we do
then? Yeah. When the cup is full with our own plans.
Full of love of God.
Yeah. Then we just pour a little bit away, and as much as we can put in new, we put in new. There's this old story you must be knowing, that this a student of martial arts, it's comes from China, the story, goes to big martial arts teacher, you know, they know all these karate or taekwondo, Wing Chun, you know. He came and he was already knowing a lot. And he said, I would like to become your student. And the master said, have a glass of tea. And he gave him a glass of tea, and he started to pour tea in there. And it came up till here, and he just continued to pour. It was going down. And the one who wanted to become a student said, the glass is full. You just keep on pouring. He said, you are like that cup or that glass. You are so full. Nothing can go in. When you have a full cup and you go like this, nothing goes in and all goes out. No? This is how you are. Therefore, I cannot accept you as my student. But I know so much martial art. Yes, you are so full of yourself, said the guru. Prabhupada gave a similar example, that a piano student who knew a lot came to this piano school, I think it was in Vienna, wanted to learn, and they said to him, yeah, you know this style, very nice, but if you want to learn, we first have to unlearn you everything. Empty the cup, same concept. Stay open. If you forget everything about this lecture, which you most probably will, just two words, stay open. then it's good. And when you are full of love of Godhead, you have joined the ecstatic human beings. There are only a few people. You are in the classroom of the lovers of God. That is the goal. That is the goal. One day we want to be in that classroom. My dear devotees, I know at this stage we could talk more and take more questions. Keep your question, please, for tomorrow. There is a second part. Maybe the second part will answer some of your questions. I see you all tomorrow morning if you wish to attend. All the best and Hare Krishna.